The ninth and final parak deals with Ma'aser Behema. What is Ma'aser Behema and why is it in this Masechta at all? So we'll answer the second question first. Why is Ma'aser Behema in this Masechta? Because there are some parallels, a lot of similarities with the halachas of the Bechor, which is the subject for this Masechta. Accordingly, Ma'aser Behema is placed here as well. So what is Ma'aser Behema? There's a halacha brought in the Torah in Vayikra Chaf Zayin, that on an annual basis, we have to tithe the new animals that were born in the prior year, talking specifically about calves. So if a cow gave birth to a calf, sheep and goats, they are all subject to the halachas of Ma'aser Behema, that everything in the prior year is gathered together, put in a pen, and they are let out one by one, and you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and the 10th one is the Ma'aser Behema, and then you keep counting until you have tithed the new flock. And what happens with the animals that are designated as the Ma'aser Behema? They're brought to the base of Mikdash, brought as a korban, and their meat is eaten in Yerushalayim by the owner, anyone who's tahor. It's not limited to the owner. So this is not given to the Kohen like a Bechor. That differs from a Bechor. The Ma'aser Behema is eaten by the owner or anyone who he so desires. If the Ma'aser Behema animal has a mum in it, if it's blemished, then it can be shachted anywhere and eaten as regular meat, eaten as chulin meat. Mishnah Aleph is going to give us some of the really top-level significant halachas as to when does Ma'aser Behema apply. So Ma'aser Behema noy ba'aretz uvachutz la'aretz, this halacha of Ma'aser Behema applies, be it in the land of Israel, be it outside the land of Israel. And what that means is, although trumas and ma'aseros of produce that grows from the ground, those are mitzvos atluyos ba'aretz, those only relate to the land of Israel. But when it comes to Ma'aser Behema, this is not a mitzvah taloy ba'aretz, you don't have to be in the land of Israel. You are also obligated to do the mitzvah outside the land of Israel. So that's why it says Ma'aser Behema noeg ba'aretz ubechutz la'aretz, outside of Israel as well. Bifnei habayis, where we have a beis hamikdash, u'shelo bifnei habayis. Or if we don't have a beis hamikdash, it applies as well. Nonetheless, the Gemara goes into a discussion that nowadays Chazal say we don't take the Ma'aser Behema. They were concerned that if we would be taking Ma'aser Behema, so you keep the Ma'aser Behema around, those animals around, that we would come to a takala, would come to problems. We may come to work them improperly, we may get all of them mixed up. So because of that, Chazal said we're not going to be taking Ma'aser Behema, and they cannot uproot a mitzvah. But here, because we are doing it b'shevet al tase, we're doing it passively. We're simply not actively taking it. We're passively not doing the mitzvah as opposed to actively violating the mitzvah. They have the strength, they have the authority to say that we are not going to take Ma'aser Behema nowadays. So that's a discussion in the Gemara. Continuing, Bachulin, it applies to our regular meat, avalo b'mukdashin. It does not apply to hekdesh meat, meat that has been consecrated to be brought as a korban in the base of Mikdash. And continuing the high level halachas v'noheg babakar uvatzon, it applies to bakar, which is cattle. Cattle includes calves. So if a cow gave birth to a calf, the calf is subject to the halachas of Ma'aser Behema. So that's bakar ubitzon. Tzon is flocks, and that includes two types of animals: sheep and goats. And that's going to be very relevant for the balance of our Mishnah. Son includes both sheep and goats. So continuing, ve'enan mit nasrim mizeh al zeh. When it comes to bakar uvetzon, those are two separate categories. So you cannot take ma'aser from bakar on cattle for tzon, or tzon on bakar. And that would mean if I have a bunch of animals subject to Ma'aser Behema, I would not put them all into one pen and mix my bakar and tzon together and then do the Ma'aser Behema process of having them come out. You have to separate them and take Ma'aser Behema separately from the two groups, bakar separately and tzon separately. It's also subject to kvasim ubayizim, the halachas of Ma'aser Behema, in the category of tzon. In the category of tzon, it applies both to kvasim, which are sheep, and izim are goats. And in this situation, it's going to be different. Umit asri mizal zeh. When it comes to sheep and goats, you can take from sheep on goats, goats and sheep. You can combine them all together into one pen and count them together for purposes of Maiser Behema. Bechadash uveyashin, and it applies for new, so newly born from this year, and if it wasn't done in a prior year, last year, uveyashin as well, you'd be responsible for taking last year's, but you have to tie them separately. Ve'ena mitasi mize alze. You'd have to separate this year's and take this year's separately, and last year's and take that separately, but we don't take from this year on last year and last year on this year. And the Mishnah is going to basically ask a question here. And it says that why is there a difference here? On the one hand, Chadash and Yashan this year versus last year and this year, you cannot take on one on the other. And when it comes to Kvasim and Izim, which are goat and sheeps, you can take on one from the other. You can combine them together, and we would have thought otherwise. As follows, Shaya Bedin, we would have thought we can run a Kal Vachomer that that's not going to be what it is. Ma'im hechadash v'hayashan she'enam klayim zebazeh. When it comes to the Chadash and Yashan, the new animals that were born this year and Yashan animals that were not born this year but prior years, and we have to take on each of them, but we cannot mix and match. We have to keep them separate. And what's unique here is that's the case even though there's no problem of breeding those animals together. And what that means is if we have, for example, goats, and we have goats from this year and goats from last year, so those, there's no problem breeding because they're goats and goats. And still, despite that, ein mitasri mizelze, because they're in different years, we're not permitted to take Maiser Behema on one to the other. Goats from this year and goats from last year, they are separated, even though there's no kalayim problem, there's no crossbreeding halachic problem with that. Nonetheless, we still have to separate the Maiser Behema separately. When it comes to kvasim and eizim, when it comes to the sheep and the goats and kalayim zebazeh, that you're not allowed to crossbreed kvasim and eizim together. You can't breed together sheep and goats. There is a klein problem. Shem klein zebaze eino din shelo yitarshu mizelze. Shouldn't it be a kal vachomer that here we have a klein problem? Obviously, we should not be able to take Maiser Behema on the sheep for the goats and the goats for the sheep. We can't mix them together. So that would be our kal vachomer. Once more time, real quickly. It seems that this is a disconnect between the Chadash and Yashan and Kvasim and the Izim. When it says the Chadash and Yashan, we are not allowed to choose Chadash for Yashan and Yashan. We're not allowed to take Maiser Behema on them. We have to keep the Chadash and the Yashan separately, despite the fact that there's no Kilayim problem because it could be the same type of animal. So, and we can't choose from one on the other when it comes to Maiser Behema. Kal Vachomer, we should not be able to choose Kvasim for Izim and Izim for Kvasim where there is a Kilayim problem. So the Mishnah tells us that in fact, Talmud Lomer Vatson, the Pasuk says specifically Tzon. Maiser Behema applies to Tzon, and it grouped the sheep and the goats together on purpose to tell us, Mashma Kol Tzonecha, to teach us that you can group the entire Tzon, all of the sheep and the goats together, that we don't have to separate goats and sheep separately. We can take from one on the other, we can group them together and take the Maiser Behema all at once, combining them, because both sheep and goats are included under the umbrella name of Tzon. And the Torah specifically said Tzon to teach us that we can group them together for Maiser Behema purposes. Mishnah Beis needs a little bit of background to be chayev in Maiser Behema. You need a minimum of 10 new animals. If you have fewer than 10, then there's no chiyuv of Maiser Behema. However, an important point is if you have them separated, if you have 5 in Los Angeles and 5 in New York or 5 in Netanya and 5 in Tel Aviv, those are not going to combine. They have to be in some sort of proximity one to the other in order to combine and have 10 together. So that's the subject of our Mishnah. How far away can the animals be from each other to still combine, to consider them 10 in order to fulfill and be obligated in the mitzvah of Maiser Behema? Mishnah Beis says as follows, Maiser Behema Mistaref Kimlo Regel Behema Roeh. Maiser Behema, the animals, we're going to aggregate them together as long as they are within the distance of the amount that a grazing animal would roam, that he would travel and still be under the supervision, still be watched by the same shepherd. So a shepherd can watch animals in all directions around him, but it has to be within 8 meal of each direction. So eight meal on this side and 8 meal on that side. 1 meal is equal to 2,000 amas. So 8 meal to the right, 8 meal to the left, up and down in all directions, a circumference around him of 8 meal, which means that the animals themselves can be double 8 meal, because some are in one direction, some are in the other direction. So double 8 meal would be 16 meal. 16 meal, that's 32,000 amas. So the Mishnah says, "Vakamahi rego behemoroa." What is this distance that we're talking about? That you can have animals on one side and animals on the other side, and they can still combine together to have 10. Shisha asar mil, it means 16 meal, as long as all the animals are within 16 meal. We'll assume right now that there are two groups of them, one on one side of the 16 meal, one on the other side of the 16 meal, one group and one group. So 5 here, 5 there, 9 there, 1 there, 8 and 2, those all combine to 10. We're going to combine them because they are within 16 meal. However, if it's more than 16 meal, and haya bein elu le'elu shloshim u'shnai meal, even 32 meal or more, this is not relevant right now, the 32 meal, except for the continuation of the Mishnah, because it doesn't have to be 32 meal apart from each other. Even if it's just a little bit more than 16 meal from each other, they're not going to be able to be aggregated together. So the Mishnah is saying, haya bein elu le'elu shloshim u'shnai meal, if there were 32 meal between them, or even less than that, from 16 meal and up, einan mitzdarfin, we would not aggregate those animals together to combine and make them equal to 10. So if it's 16 or more, we are going to count those groups of animals separately. And if there's no 10 in any one place, then there's no mitzvah of ma'aser behema. Hayalo be'emtza. However, on the other hand, even if there's 32 meal between one group and the other group, but there's another animal owned by that person in the middle, right in the middle, so that middle one, for example, we have one in the middle now, and we have 5 to the north and 5 to the south. So the 5 to the north, 5 to the south, they are 32 meal apart, but because we have that one in the middle, that one in the middle is going to aggregate them all together, because that one is within 16 meal of those to the north, and also 16 meal of those ones to the south. We're going to aggregate them all together, and we're going to have a chiyuv of ma'aser behema, ma'aser be'emtza. Literally, you should be ma'aser, take the ma'aser behema in the middle, bring them all together. But as the Bartanura explains, lav mevi be'emtza mamish gemara, you don't have to really bring them together. What it's saying is that that middle one will aggregate them all together as if they're all together, and you can take ma'aser behema on the whole group, because now we have a minimum of 10. There's a chiyuv of ma'aser behema. And Rabbi Meir Omer, he adds on, based on a pasuk, ha'yarden mafsik le'ma'aser behema, if you have the Jordan River going between the two groups, for example, you have 5 on one side of the Jordan River, 5 on the other side of the Jordan River, and there is less than 16 meal. Even if they're right next to each other, but on the opposite sides of the Jordan River is going to be mafsik, is going to actually create a barrier between them. It separates between the two groups, and there would be no chiyuv of ma'aser behema. Mishnah Gimel is a somewhat confusing Mishnah, and the Mefarshim really do have a difficult time explaining certain parts of this Mishnah, but we'll try to make it as streamlined as possible. So Mishnah Gimel starts as follows, Halakuach och shenitan lo matana. We're talking about which types of animals are obligated to take ma'aser behema from. And what we'll see right here is that ma'aser behema is not an obligation. It's not required at all. There's no mitzvah for someone who purchases the animals that were born in somebody's flock, somebody else's flock, or somebody who receives the animals as a gift. Again, they were born in somebody else's flock, so there's no obligation. Alakuach o shenitan lo matana patur mi ma'aser behema. You do not have to be mafrish. You don't have to separate ma'aser behema from those animals. The obligation for ma'aser behema, it's based on a drasha and a pasuk, or ma'aser behema is only obligated for animals born in your own flock. And now we're going to get a little bit complicated here, and this is going to require a little bit background before we go into the balance of the Mishnah. This is the part that the some of the Mefarshim, or all the Mefarshim, have a difficulty in some parts of this Mishnah. So there are 3 stages when a father has his assets and passes away. So initially, before the estate is divided, that's going to be stage number one. And the Yerusha is of the fathers, and it's still intact. So it's considered the fathers effectively, as we will see shortly. So we have the estate. It is intact. It has not been divided by the brothers yet. Level number two is when the estate has been divided by the brothers. So now they have their individual independent assets, but that is no longer considered the estate of the father. It is owned by the brother separately. That is stage number two. And stage number three, if the brothers decide to repartner together to pool their assets they received via Yerusha, that is going to be a partnership of the brothers, but that is not going to be that they have the estate still that is intact. So level number one, the estate is intact. Number two, they divided up the assets. Those are their separate assets. And number three, if they decide to repartner with those assets, it's not as if you were back to level number one, that it's owned by the father, it's on the father's name, but rather we look at it as a partnership between the brothers. Let's put that aside for a second. We're going to deal with a couple different areas of halacha. We're going to talk about ma'aser behema. That's the subject of our parak. And an important halacha is that individuals, when they have animals born in their flock in the prior year, they are obligated in Ma'aser Behema, but partnerships are not obligated in Ma'aser Behema. So if we have two partners and they own animals together and those animals give birth, there would be no obligation of Ma'aser Behema. Only if animals are owned by individuals, an individual, I own mine, you own yours. But once we partner together and we pool our assets together, there's going to be no obligation of Ma'aser Behema. There's another halacha that we're going to talk about. This is covered extensively in Masechet Shkalim, that when we had a Beis HaMikdash, there was an obligation to give the machatzis shekel, the half a shekel, each and every year. Each individual male had the obligation to do that. And there was actually a transaction fee, like a surcharge, when you used to pay your machatzis shekel, a much smaller amount called the kalbon. Kalbon, so when you give your machatzis shekel, you would give a kalbon as well. Now that halacha of a kalbon applied when you paid for yourself. I give my machatzis shekel, then I have to add a kalbon. However, if you pay for somebody else, for example, you pay for a poor person, or you pay for your neighbor and you're not getting paid back, or a father pays for his son, there would be no additional kalbon. That surcharge would not be charged. And we're going to see now that at different points, these halachas of Ma'aser Behema and Kalbon are going to go in opposite directions. There are going to be situations that when we are going to be obligated in Ma'aser Behema, we're not going to be obligated in the Kalbon. And when we're obligated to pay that Kalbon, we're giving the machatzis shekel, we're not going to be obligated in Ma'aser Behema. And it's going to go as follows. We're going to focus primarily on stage one and stage three. We're going to start out with stage number three. That is when the father had the Yerusha, he passed away, there's a Yerusha, there's an estate. Stage number two, they divided it up, the estate, and then stage number three, they repartnered. So in a situation, ha'achim ha'shutafin, we're reading this like Rashi, when we have the brothers, and they repartnered on that stage number three, they repooled their assets, so they have a partnership together. In the situation that you have a partnership, shechayavim bekalbon, assuming that they would pay their machatzis shekel, each of them, they took it out of the partnered assets, each of them is going to be required to pay a kalbon for himself. This is not the situation that when you have a partnership, you don't have to pay the kalbon. The situation is if somebody else pays for you, you don't pay the kalbon. But here we have two partners in a partnership. Even if they have partnership assets that they use to pay their machatzis shekel on the kalbon, each of them is going to be obligated in a kalbon. On the other hand, p'turim mi'ma'aser behema, because they are partners, we're at stage number three, they have repartnered. We look at them as simple partners. We not on stage number one, that we look at it as Yerusha, but they are partners in a partnership together, the partnership is going to be absolved from paying Ma'aser Behema. So there's going to be no obligation. They're going to be putter from Ma'aser Behema for the animals that give birth to their partnership. On the other hand, when we are on stage number one, which means the father passed away, there's an estate, the estate is intact, it has not been divided up, that's going to cut in the opposite direction. V'shechayavim b'Ma'aser Behema, when you're obligated in Ma'aser Behema, when it's looked as the father's assets, he's passed away, the Yerusha is intact, it's not that it's a partnership of the brothers, it's still viewed as the father's estate, Accordingly, it's not a partnership, so there is going to be an obligation of Maaser Behema. It's looked at as the father's assets, and he's an individual. Accordingly, animals that are born are going to be obligated to Maaser Behema. On the other hand, Pturi Mina Kalbon, if the Yerusha assets, which are on the father's name, are used to pay for the machatzitza shekel of the brothers who will inherit, but they haven't divided the assets yet, in that situation, because we view it as if the father is paying for his sons, as we said, when we have a machatzitza shekel that's paid by somebody else, there's no obligation of a kalbon. Accordingly, in this situation, when we're on stage number one, the Yerusha has not been divided, the estate is intact, it's as if the father is paying for his sons, he's paying the machatzitza shekel, but it's going to be potter from the kalbon because he's paying for somebody else. Now, the balance of the Mishnah, this is where the poskim really have a difficult time, because some of it is really repetitive to what we just said. But it's indeed, there is some more explanation here, and there are different Perushim, but we're just going to choose one of them. Kanu mitfisas abayis. What this is saying is, if we're back to level number one, we're on level number one here, that we have an intact, undivided estate of the father. And the brothers received, they didn't receive it yet, it's still undivided, the father passed away, but they haven't divided the assets yet. In this situation, as we mentioned before, chayavin, there's going to be an obligation of Maaser Behema, because we don't look at it as a partnership, we're still on level number one, so that's one intact estate. There's an obligation of the estate, even though the father passed away, to give Maaser Behema on the animals that were born. V'im lav, and this is where it gets a little complicated, and we'll choose the Shoshanas LeDavid. The Shoshanim LeDavid, I actually have a Mishnah that my Mishnah Shet, I don't have it, my son got it as a bar mitzvah present, and on the side it brings this explanation in the Likut, and it brings in the name of the Shoshanim LeDavid, what it means, v'im lav, and if not, your potter, if not what? So he explains as follows, that if the brothers partner together, but not with the assets that they receive from the Yerusha. It's not that we're talking about we're on level number three now, but it's talking about that the partners partner together with their own independent assets, not that they receive from Yerusha. Accordingly, this is a real partnership that they have in that situation, because it's a real partnership. It says, Pturim, they would not be obligated in Maaser Behema. So that's what the Im Lav Pturim, some of the Mefarshim take this out. Some say it's just extra language here. But in any case, we're going to continue. Now we're going to level number three. We said this outside before. We actually read it inside, but it wasn't as explicit in the Reish of the Mishnah. Chalku v'chazu v'nishtatfu, if we're on level number three, the brothers, there was a Yerusha, father passed away, they divided the assets. But level number three is they decided to repartner. So chalku, they divided it. They divided the assets. V'chazru v'nishtatfu, when they went and they repartnered. So we're on level number three now. Chayavim b'kalbon, when each of them, even if they take their machatzitza shekel out of the partnership assets, but a partnership is not absolved from the kalbon. Accordingly, each, they're taking their assets, they're paying their machatzitza shekel, each is going to be obligated in a kalbon. Upturim b'maaser behema, but because we are on level number three, it's a partnership, they are going to be potter from maaser behema. Mishnah Dala gets into the process of which animals were put together in a pen in order to be included in the counting of Maaser Behema. So as we mentioned in the past, Maaser Behema, the process was all the animals of a certain type were put together in a pen, and then they were let out one by one through the door and counted up to 10, and the 10th one was marked as the Maaser Behema. That is the tithe animal, the chosen animal, which be brought as a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, and the owner, or who he desired, would be able to eat of that korban. Now, what happens if you have certain types of animals that are not fit to be brought as korbanos? So the default is, interestingly, even though they aren't fit, they would still be put in the pen together, and they would be let out, counted one by one. If it happened to be that one of those unfit animals were the 10th, was the Maaser Behema, you can't bring it as a korban, but it would be counted anyway in the count, even though there was that risk that you wouldn't be able to use it. But certain animals, and this is based on drushas on a couple of psukim, certain animals, even if they're not fit, they couldn't be put into the bin at all. They couldn't be put into the pen. So certain animals that could not be fit to be a korban would be put into the pen, and if they were number 10 they wouldn't be used, but certain didn't even make it into the pen. And that's what this Mishnah is going to be talking about. HaKol Nichnas LaDir Lihit Aser, all the different animals, they were put into the pen in order to be counted up to 10, and number 10 would be the Maiser Behema, with the following exceptions, again, based on drushas and a couple of psukim, chutz min akilayim, those that are mixed, they're mixed breeds of a sheep and a goat, they were mixed together, so that would not be put in the pen. Vatrefa, an animal that had a serious blemish, an internal flaw, that it would die within a year, so a trefa would not be put into the pen. Viyotzidof, and anything that was born by a C-section, a mechusar's man, less than 7 days old. The pasuk says explicitly that it has to be at least 7 days old to be counted. And last, viyasom, literally an orphan. That's the one that doesn't seem to make sense. What does that mean, an orphan? What do we care that this animal has parents? So it goes as follows. Ezu yasom. The Mishnah comes and explains, what do we mean a yasom, that if an animal is a yasom, an orphan, it would not be put into the pen to be counted as part of the Maiser Behema computation. Kol shemesa imo o shenishchata. The Tanakhama says that its mother died in childbirth, or was shechted immediately on childbirth, such that the mother and the child were never together. So either the mother died right then, or was shechted right then, but if it was around for a little bit, that would not be considered a yasom, and would be put into the pen. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, afilu nishchata ima vashelach kayam, even if the mother was shechted immediately, so the mother was never together with that child, but the shelach, the skin is around, they kept the skin, ain't ze yasum, this is not a yasum. The Bartender explains what's going on here, is that there were places that the animal, even when it died, because in childbirth it passed away, they would immediately skin the animal, and they would put the skin around the child, the baby, in order to keep it warm. And it would count as if it's a mother. So it would count that it is not a yasum. So accordingly, Rabbi Yeshua's view is, even if the mother passed away, died immediately, shechted immediately, but you had the ability to put the skin around the animal, and that would serve in lieu of the mother, then that animal would no longer be considered a yasum, an orphan, and would be put into the bin with all of the other animals to count it, be counted in the computation of Maiser Behema. Mishnah Hay is a complicated and detailed Mishnah and requires some background. So as we mentioned, the mitzvah of Maiser Behema is done on an annual basis, and one of the views, the primary view, is that the annual basis is based on from Rosh Hashanah till the end of the year, Rosh Hashanah being the first of Tishrei until the end of Elul, and what is born within that year you would take Maiser Behema from, and what's born in the prior year you can't use, you cannot cross the Rosh Hashanah barrier. So that is on a D'oraisa level, and during the year, despite the fact that you're having babies born to your animals and there's an obligation of Maiser Behema, that does not prevent you, it does not prohibit you from shechting those animals, using those animals, selling those animals, that is not prohibited. But a problem arose. Klal Yisrael, the tzaddikim that they are, they did not want to be bringing animals, using their animals, bringing them as karbonos, unless they had done the mitzvah of Maiser Behema. So that caused a problem. There was a lack of people bringing karbonos because they were waiting till the end of the year in order to do the mitzvah of Maiser Behema. Accordingly, Chazal, on a rabbinic level, instituted that we're going to compute Maiser Behema 3 times a year. We're going to have 3 different dates throughout the year on those days. Once that date hits, this is on a rabbinic level, you're not permitted to sell or shecht your animals. It's like a freeze on the animals until you do the Maiser Behema mitzvah for everything that was done in during that time zone. So if it's the first segment of the year, you have to take Maiser Behema on everything up to the first date. That first date hits, that's when you can no longer buy, sell, shecht your animals. Once you do Maiser Behema, then you're permitted to use those animals as you so desire. So that was 3 times throughout the year, and we're going to see the first opinion, all opinions in fact, but really, we won't say all opinions. We'll get to the 3 opinions. There are 3 primary opinions, as we will see in our Mishnah, when those dates were. And we'll focus on the first one first. Rabbi Akiva was of the view that they were pegged to the 3 regalim, the Shalosh regalim. Why? Because right before them, and his view was 15 days before each of the Shalosh regalim, Pesach, Shavuos and Sukkos, that those were the dates that Chazal set, that at that point you're no longer permitted to use those animals until you do the mitzvah of Ma'aser Behema. Do Ma'aser Behema on those dates, and thereafter you're permitted to use it. And what that did was it ensured that there would be a sufficient amount of animals for the karbanos during the Shalosh Regalim. Right after those dates, you have 15 days. You wouldn't hopefully use up your animals at that point. We'll just get back to this point in a little bit. And then you'd have a sufficient supply, an adequate supply of animals for each of the chagim. So that is the first opinion. And on a high level, what we're going to see in this mission is three different opinions. And if we can envision a graph, and on one side of the graph, going on the right side to down, is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, and then the opinion of Ben Azai, and then the opinion of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon together. So those are going to be the three opinions we're going to see. And across the top, the axis, we're going to have when are the three dates for the doing of the Ma'aser Behema. So that's going to be our chart, three opinions on the right side, and the three time periods, the garnos, that's what it's called in our Mishnah, when you would be obligated, or at least have the mitzvah to do Ma'aser Behema. So Mishnah Hay starts out as follows: Shalosh Garanos the Ma'aser Behema, the three different times that Chazal on a rabbinic level set. These are the Goren dates to do the mitzvah Ma'aser Behema. And this is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. But Pros HaPesach, Pros is a word that means half. And the concept here, according to Rabbi Akiva, is that there's a halacha through for each of the Shalosh Regalim. Famous halacha that sholim v'dorshim, that we ask questions, we teach about the halachas of each of the chagim 30 days in advance. So halfway through that point is 15 days. Pros means half. So we have the three dates, the Ma'aser Behema dates, Pros HaPesach, 15 days before Pesach, B'Pros HaAtzeres, 15 days before Shavuos, B'Pros HaChag, and 15 days before Sukkot. Even Rabbi Akiva, the Bar Tanur, points out that and the Pros HaChag, the most complicated ones that we'll be talking about, is the end of the year, the Sukkot one. So 15 days before Sukkot, that is the last day of Elul. And one of the primary views, as we mentioned before, is that the cutoff on the annual basis is going to be Rosh Hashanah, the first of Tishrei. So that third Goren is going to end on the last day of Elul, right before the first day of the new year, Aleph Tishrei. Then we will be starting a new year computation. So that's Rabbi Akiva, 15 days before of the Shalosh Regalim. And the rationale is because that's halfway through the point that we are learning the halachas. Next opinion, Ben Azai Omer. So we're going down on the right side of our graph, and this is the second of you, Ben Azai, and then we're going to fill in going from right to left the three different time periods according to Ben Azai. So the first one, Be'esrim V'tisha Be'adar, is the 29th of Adar. So in effect, Ben Azai agrees with Rabbi Akiva fundamentally that it should be 15 days before Pesach. This is the first of the dates for the second view. This is the first of the dates, Ben Azai. When is the Pesach computation going to be? So he agrees 15 days. So why does he set it at Esrim V'tisha B'Adar, 29th of Adar? So there is a difference between them. And the difference is as follows. According to Ben Azai, the month of Adar is always going to be Chaser, is always going to be 29 days. So accordingly, he says it's always going to be set on that day. 15 days before Pesach is always going to be the 29th of Adar. But Rabbi Akiva says sometimes that's the case. It's going to be the 29th of Adar. But Adar can be Malay as well. It doesn't have to be 29 days. It can be 30 days. Accordingly, it may be that 15 days before Pesach is going to be on the 30th of Adar. So that's the one minor machlokis between the two. That's why, in the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, he said, Pros HaPesach, 15 days before Pesach, that can be a variable. It can be on the 29th or 30th of Adar. And Ben Azai is saying it's always going to be on the 29th of Adar. So that is Ben Azai, the first time period, number one. Number two is Be'echad B'Sivan. This contrasts with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said it's going to be 15 days before Shavuos is the second time period. Ben Azai is concerned about that. 15 days before Shavuos, between Pesach, between the Goren of Pesach, which was 15 days before Pesach, and now 15 days before Shavuos, there's not a lot of time to have a lot of babies born. And accordingly, if we set the Maaser Behemah date 15 days before Shavuos, it could be that that small amount of animals that were born up until then could be used before Shavuos, and we won't have an adequate supply on Shavuos. So what Ben Azai says is we should indeed shorten that time period, shorten the Goren. Don't take the second batch of Maaser Behemah on the 15 days before Shavuos, and that would permit the shechting and the eating and the selling of the animals, but make it closer to Shavuos. 5 days before Shavuos, that is Echad B'Sivan, 5 days before Shavuos, and accordingly, people will have less time to use those animals, and that will ensure that we have a sufficient supply of animals for the korbanos on Shavuos. So that is a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai. Is it 15 days before Shavuos, or is it 5 days before Shavuos? And then the third Goren, according to Ben Azai, and now we're going to start getting a little bit more complicated, is Be'esrim V'tisha Be'av, the 29th of Av. Didn't we mention before that the annual computation is from the first of Tishrei? And if it's the first of Tishrei, that's why Rabbi Akiva said that your computation, which is 15 days before Sukkot, is going to be the last day of Elul. Last day of Elul, and then the new year for the counting of Maaser Behemah starts the very next day. And here we have the opinion of Ben Azai that's going 30 days earlier. He's making the cutoff not on the 29th day of Elul, but he's making it on the 29th day of Av. And we will explain this as we come up later in the Mishnah, that in fact there are two major views. The primary view is that the annual basis is from the first of Tishrei until the end of the year. But the second view, it's not from the first of Tishrei, it's a month earlier on the first of Elul. The first of Elul is the cutoff for Maaser Behemah on an annual basis, and accordingly, to finish off the third Goren should be the day before. That's going to be the 29th of Av. So we will get back to this opinion in a little bit, explaining. We can just say it now a little bit. So that Ben Azai knows there are two views. He knows that there's one opinion, and the primary opinion is Aleph B'Tishrei, and that's the opinion that we saw in Rabbi Akiva. It's going to be the third opinion brought down, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Also, their computation is going to be their view also, that it's going to be Aleph Tishrei. However, we'll see towards the end of the Mishnah that Rabbi Meir says that the annual basis is not based on the first of Tishrei, but it's based on the first of Elul. And Ben Azai says, I don't know which it is. We have a machlokis here. Which opinion should I go with? So he has a chumrah that you're going to compute it based on Rabbi Meir up until the 29th of Av, right before the first day of Elul, and all of those in Elul, because it's a suffix. Are we poskening like Rabbi Meir, that that's part of the new year? Or are we poskening like the alternative view, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Akiva, that that's still part of the old year? He is of the view, Ben Azai says, Elul, you have to treat separately, and anything born in Elul, you're going to count as Maaser Behemah against itself. So you're not going to include it before or afterward. It's going to be computed by itself. And that's why he's saying the 29th of Av here, and we will get back to Ben Azai in a little bit. The third view, as we're looking on our axis, on our chart, third view down, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, Be'echad, Benisan. The first computation, and this is different from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says 15 days before Pesach, and now we have the view, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, they're saying it's 14 days before Pesach, which is the first of Nisan. Why? Because they are of the view, there's an alternative view, that we don't sholim v'darshim, we don't teach and learn the halachas of a chag 30 days in advance, but 2 weeks in advance. And because of that, that's the view that they hold. So 2 weeks in advance of Pesach is going to be the first of Nisan. And now, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, we are going to the second computation. When is the Goren when it comes to Shavuos? Be'echad, B'Sivan, they agree with Ben Azai. Shorten it up to 5 days so we have an adequate supply of korbanos. And then the third date, Be'esrim, V'tisha, Be'elul, that is 15 days before, that is 15 days before Sukkot. That is in agreement with Rabbi Akiva, but for a different reason. Rabbi Akiva said it's 15 days before because that's what we do for all the Chagim. We do it 15 days before each of the Chagim. But here we have Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon agreeing with the date. It's 15 days before, but for a different reason. And what's the reason? So the reason is because it should be 14 days, as we said just now by Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, it should be 14 days before the Chag. So just like it's Be'echad, Benisan, it's 14 days before Pesach, so too this should be 14 days before Sukkot. But it's not 14 days, it's 15 days. So if the view, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, is 14 days, and that's why Sholim Vedorshim is 2 weeks in advance. So why do they change it here for Sukkot that they're 15 days in advance, not 14 days in advance? So that's what the Mishnah asks. Well, Amru Esrim B'Tisha Be'elul, where are they saying that this Goren, this third date, is on the 29th of Elul, V'lo Amru Be'acha B'Tisha, and not 14 days before like they computed for Sukkot. It should be 14 days before Sukkot. So why like they computed for Pesach? So why don't we treat Pesach and Sukkot the same? Just like Pesach is 14 days, Sukkot should be 14 days, not 15 days. And the answer is that's a technical problem. It's a technicality. Mimnei Shu Yom Tov, because it would fall out then on Yantif, which is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the first day of Tishrei, so it should be on the first day of Tishrei, 14 days in advance, but we have to make it one day earlier, 15, because you can't do Ma'aser Behema on Rosh Hashanah. Why not? Why can't you do the Ma'aser Behema on Yantif? Because part of the process, and we'll see this later on the Perek, is that you have to, when you were counting every tenth, as they would come out of the pen, and we'll go into detail on this, that you put everything that was subject to the Ma'aser Behema into a pen together, and you had a small door, and they would come out of it, and then you would use a red dye to mark each tenth animal that comes out. You'd use a red dye. You can't do that on Yontif and Shabbos. That's Tzoveya, that is coloring. Accordingly, we can't do the Meiser Behema on Rosh Hashanah, 14 days in advance. L'fichach hikdimuhu be'esrim v'tisha be'elul. Accordingly, Chazal made it one day earlier on the 29th day of Elul. Now we're going to get back to that significant machlokas, the annual computation. And as we said, the view of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon and also Rabbi Akiva is that the computation on an annual basis starts from the first of Tishrei and runs through the end of the year, through the end of Elul. But we also have the alternative view, Rabbi Meir Omer, Be'echad Be'elul, a month earlier is the annual basis computation. The first of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, L'Maiser Behema, is the Rosh Hashanah for the computation of Maiser Behema. So we have those two views. So now we're going to get back to Ben Azai. Ben Azai, our second view on the chart, who said that we are going to run the computation and the third Goren is going to go up until the 29th of Av. Why the 29th of Av? No, the Mishnah explains, Ben Azai knew there were two opinions. Is it the first of Elul, like Rabbi Meir, or is it the first of Tishrei, like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, or Rabbi Akiva? He didn't know what to do. He had a suffix. Ben Azai Omer Ha'elulim Nitashim Bifnei Atzman. He set the third Goren at the 29th of Av and saying, starting from the first of Elul, and everything born in Elul is going to have to take a Meiser from itself, because it's a suffix, which year does Elul go with? Are we going to go like Rabbi Meir? Are we going to go like all the other Shitas? And accordingly, that is why how we understand Ben Azai is saying that the third Goren ends on the 29th of Av, and then you have your own independent Goren, the own computation for Elul, and then you'll start the new year again on the first of Tishrei. Mishnah Vav is a continuation of the prior Mishnah, where we saw that the primary view is that Ma'aser Behema is computed on an annual basis, starting from the first of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, until the end of Elul. That is the annual computation. But Chazal instituted on a rabbinic level to compute it during the year three times, three time periods called the Goren. The Mishnah says as follows, Kol hanoladim me'echad b'tishrei ad esrim b'tisha be'elul harei elu mitzarfin on a d'oraisa level. Everything that is born of your animals during that year, from the first of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, until the end of the year, the 29th of Elul, will be aggregated together. And if you have, for example, five at the beginning of the year and five at the end of the year, that is 10. That's the minimum amount that would be subject to the mitzvah of Ma'aser Behema. That's all going to be aggregated together, even if they're in different rabbinic time periods during the year. So, for example, as an illustration, Chamisha lifnei Rosh Hashanah v'chamisha l'acha Rosh Hashanah eina mitzarfin. We have five animals born before Rosh Hashanah and five after Rosh Hashanah, because they are in different years, those will not be aggregated together, and we will not have the mitzvah of Ma'aser Behema. You need 10 in a given year to do the mitzvah of Ma'aser Behema. On the other hand, within a given year, Chamisha Lifnei HaGoren v'Chamisha La'achar HaGoren, within a given year, when we have those three time periods, if one was before one time period and one was after, so for example, if we go with the Goren as 15 days before Pesach, so let's say I have five that were born during Purim time, and another five that were born after a little bit after Pesach. So those are in different granos. They're in different rabbinic time periods during the year, but they're during the same biblical year for purposes of computing Ma'aser Behema. Hareilu Mitzarfin is we will aggregate those together for purposes of computing. I will have 10, and I will have the opportunity, the mitzvah and obligation to do the mitzvah of Ma'aser Behema. So accordingly, the Mishnah asks, Sim Kain. If the fact is we're going to look at the annual basis and we're going to compute it on an annual and we're going to aggregate everything that happened within a given year, so what is the significance of these granos? We mentioned this on the prior Mishnah, but now this Mishnah is spelling it out. What is the significance of the rabbinic concept of saying computed at three times during the year? So the Mishnah answers, Sha'ad shelo higia hagoren mutar limkov lishchad. Until you get to those dates, and we'll use Rabbi Akiva, for example, the dates are 15 days before Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos, 15 days before. So until you get to the Goren date, you are permitted to sell, you're permitted to shecht. There are no limitations on what you can do for your animals. But higia Goren lo yishchot, when the Goren date hits, for example, 15 days before Sukkot, 15 days before Pesach, you're no longer permitted to shecht, you're no longer permitted to sell your animals. Chazal instituted this in order to ensure that people would be comfortable using their animals for the karbanos on the shalosh regalim, because Klal Yisrael, even though you're not on a biblical level prohibited from using those animals, they wanted to do the mitzvah. They didn't want to use the animals until they did the mitzvah. Accordingly, Chazal instituted, when it comes to those dates, you're not allowed to shecht, you're not allowed to use, there's a freeze on use of the animals. Do it at those granos, 15 days, according to Rabbi Akiva, before each of the chagim, and then you will feel free and comfortable to use those animals for each of the chagim. Accordingly, that's why Chazal instituted the Goren. So accordingly, Sha'an Shalo Higia Goren, just to take a step back, until the date of the Goren happened, Mutra Limkor Velishchot, you were permitted to do what you desired with those animals. You can sell them, you can shech them, you can eat them. Higia Goren, once those dates of the Goren, the rabbinic dates came, Lo Yishchot, you would not be able to shecht, to sell, until you did the mitzvah of Ma'aser Behema, and thereafterward, you would be re-permitted to use those animals coming right into the Chagim. Nonetheless, the Mishnah makes a comment that because those dates are rabbinic in nature, within a year, the Goren dates are rabbinic, even though you were prohibited to sell, to shecht those animals, v'im shachat, if you did nonetheless, because it's only rabbinically mandated to not do so, if you sold, if you shechted, here talking specifically about shechita, potter, there's going to be no punishment, and also you are going to be permitted to eat the meat. So because it's rabbinic in nature, it's not going to be penalized, it's not going to be a penalty, a fee, there's not going to be a prohibition to eat the meat, but nonetheless you're doing something wrong, because Chazal instituted that when those dates come, you should not be shechting at that point until you do the mitzvah of Ma'aser Behema. Mishnah Zayin discusses the procedure of taking the Ma'aser Behema. So the Mishnah says as follows, Ketzad Ma'aseran, how do we do the mitzvah Ma'aser Behema? Konsan Ledir, you put all the relevant animals together into a pen, the Oseh Lahen Pesach Katan, and you have to make a very small Pesach, an opening that they can only exit one by one, Kadesh Lo Yushnayim Yecholim Lates Kachatz, to ensure that no two can come out together. We will get back to this point in the next Mishnah. Umone B'Shevet Echad, based on a Pasuk, you would count with a shevet, with a stick, echad, shtayim, if the counting is as follows, it's mone b'shevet, you will count with a stick, echad, shtayim, shlosha, arba, chamisha, shisha, shiva, shmona, tisha, you will count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, as the animals come out, v'hayotze, asiri, and the one that exits, number 10, sokra, besikra, you will color it with a red dye, so you know which one is the designated maser for the behemoth, which one is the designated 10th, and the same count again for the next set of 10, and you will mark the 20th and the 30th. That is going to be the number 10. For each set, that's going to be the Meiser. V'hema v'omer, on each of the 10th that comes out, every number 10, hareza Meiser. This one is the Meiser. How about if you missed one or more of those required acts? Los Skara Basikra. What if you did not mark the 10th one with red dye? V'lo mina'an b'shevet, and you did not use a stick, a staff, to count as they came out, as the pasuk says you should. Oshim mina'an revutzin, instead of all them coming out one by one out of the pen through that door, they were all crouching, and they were too lazy to walk out, and you didn't want to force them, so you went around, and you counted 9 and marked the 10th, and count another 9 and marked the 10th, and you were careful to not double counting any of them. So Oshiman and Revutzim, while they were crouching or omding, they were just standing there, not walking out of the pen. Hare Elu Mu'usarin, that is still on a Bidiyevid level. If you did it, they will count as having been Meiser Behemad. So that will be effective, not ideal, because you didn't follow all the exact procedures, but nonetheless, you have done the mitzvah. On the other hand, Hayalomeya Vinatal Asara, if you had 100 animals, you know you had 100 animals, for example, you counted for a different purpose, you had to know how much food to buy. I have 100, and all you did was Vinatal Asara, you took without counting, you didn't count 100 and can't take every 10th one. And you took 10, I know I have 100, 10 out of here, you're the Meiser Behema. Or similarly, Asara, you know you have 10, Venatalach, and you just took one out, so you didn't go through the proper counting of the Meiser Behema, ain't the Maaser. According to the Tanakhama, this does not count as Maaser, you actually have to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 is the Meiser Behema. And again, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, based on the Pasuk, Hareza Maaser, his view is even if you didn't count, you didn't go through the counting process, you just took 10 out of 100, or you took 1 out of 10, that is still going to be effective as taking Meiser Behema. Now what happens if you're going through this process and some came out and then they got mixed up there afterward? For example, kafatz echad min hamnuyin letochan. You counted and you're up, for example, number 8. So, and then one of those that were counted, you didn't get up to number 10. It's actually a machlokas how to understand this, but we'll take one view, the Bartanura, that you got up to number 8 or number 7, and one of those that you had counted jumped back into the pen. So now our problem is as follows. One of them has already been counted. And in order to do Meiser Behema effectively, we need to be sure that we don't count double count. And if one has gotten back into the pen, and then we count up to the 10, I don't know, maybe when I get to the Asiri number 10, I have double counted one of the animals there. So that is going to be a big problem. And the effect of that is Hare Elu Peturin, everything in the pen. Because I can never be sure when number 10 comes out, if it's really number 10, because I have not double counted animals, or if it's not number 10, maybe it's only number 9, for example. If I cannot be sure that my 10th is a number 10, I cannot do any longer the mitzvah of Meiser Behema. And accordingly, the Mishnah says, Harei Luputurin, everything left in that bin, everything in the pen is going to be absolved. There's going to be no further any obligation to do Meiser Behema because of the technicality. I can never know which of the animal is definitively going to be number 10 because one of the first 9 that had come out jumped back into the pen. That's going to be a situation if one of the non-Meiser Behema, one of those that I counted, that's the Menuyin, jumped back into the pen. On the other hand, Mina Me'usarin Letzochan, if one of those that were the actual Meiser animal, so for example, number 10 that came out, that's the one that jumped back into the pen, and I don't know which one it is. So now I have a serious problem, because in the pen, I have a number of animals that were waiting to come out, but they're regular animals still, but mixed in is one of them that is the Meiser Behema. So now I have a major problem. I can't use them for chulin. I can't use them for all of my own personal purposes because one of them has to go to the base of Mikdash and is a korban. On the other hand, I can't take them all to the base of Mikdash as korbanos because only one of them is the Meiser Behema animal that should be brought to the base of Mikdash. Accordingly, the Mishnah says in this situation, kulam yiru achi stavu, as we have these types of sfeikos, as we have these types of doubts, because one of them is a korban, all of them are going to have to go and pasture in the field until they all have a mum, until they all have a disqualifying blemish such that they cannot be slaughtered in the base of Mikdash anymore. And at that point, ve'yeachlu b'mum and labalim, they can be eaten, can't be brought as a korban anymore, and they all have this mum. So now the baal, the owners, can eat it because they have these blemishes. You can eat it as normal animals, because now certainly even the Maser Behemah that was supposed to be the Korban has a mum. It can't be brought in the base of Mikdash anymore. So they would all be considered owned fully, not viable to be brought as a Korban, and they would be shechted and used by the owners as they so desire. Mishnah Ches deals with various mistakes that are made when the counting of the Maser Behemah is done. Mishnah Ches starts as follows, Yasu Shnayim Ke'echad. As we mentioned in the past, you're supposed to put all the animals that are subject to the Maaser Behema into a pen, and there's supposed to be just a very narrow door that they come out one by one, but apparently the door was not narrow enough, and they started coming out in pairs two by two. So how do you handle that? Do you count one, two, three, four? Do you count them in pairs? The first two are one, the first, second two, that's animals number three and four, are going to be two, etc. So the Mishnah says, Mone osan shnayim shnayim, we count them two by two. So the first two that come out, we're counting one. The second two that come out, we're counting two, etc. So it's the 10th pair, which means animals number 20, 19 and 20, those are going to be the Maaser Behemah. So we'll count them in pairs, and the 10th pair, animals 19 and 20, those are the Maaser Behemah. Mina'an Echad, if the first couple that came out, the person counted them as one, but thereafterwards started counting them as individuals. So the first pair counted one, and then the third animal he counted as two. The fourth animal he counted as three. So his count is off now. And accordingly, when he gets to counting number nine, it's really the 10th animal. He's counting at number nine, but it's the 10th animal. And when it's the 11th animal, he's counting at number 10. So accordingly, we have one that's really 10, but counted nine. And we have one that's really 11, but it's counted as 10. Chi'iv Asirim Kukali, number 9 and number 10 are a mess. They are ruined, literally. And what that means is for each of them, they have a Kedusha of the Maaser Behemah. We have to wait till each of them has a mum. Each is going to be required to have a mum. And then that animal can be shechted. Each of the respective animals can be shechted for their meat. Next issue that came out, we started normally in this situation. You were counting, they were coming out one by one. They counted all the way up, the farmer, the owner counted all the way up till eight. And then at that point, the problems started. Yatsu Chi'i Vasiri Ka'achas, the ninth and the tenth came out together. Accordingly, we don't know which one is number nine and which one is number 10 because they came out together. So again, Chi'i Vasiri Mikukali, number 9 and number 10, are ruined, and we're going to have to wait till each of them has a mum. Neither can be used until it has a mum. And at that point, we know that the animal is not going to be brought into the base of Mikdash as the korban of the Maaser Behemah, and it could be eaten. Our next scenario, and this is going to be a very interesting scenario, and we're going to have a similar scenario at the end of the Mishnah, but with one major difference. And it goes as follows. What happens if the person made a mistake on number 9, 10, and 11? And when it came to number 9 and number 11, instead of calling 9, 9 and 11, 11, he called each of them 10. So when number 9 is coming out, he called it 10. When number 11 came out after number 10, what came out a little bit later, he calls it 10. And number 10 itself, which came out between 9 and 11, he called that not 10 as he should have, but he called it 9. So he made a mistake on three of them. Two of them, number 9 and number 11, he called 10. And number 10, he called 9 as follows. Kara Lachii Asiri. If he called number 9 as it's coming out, this is 10. Made a mistake. Ula Asiri Chi. And when number 10 came out right afterward, instead of calling it 10, he called it 9. So he flipped 9 and 10. And then thereafterward, Ula Achadasar Asiri, number 11 is coming out. He calls it 10, Shloshan Mikudashim. All three of them have some form of Kedusha, 10 for sure, because it's really number 10, even though it called it 9. And it's as follows. Each of them has some Kedusha, but we're going to treat, in this situation, each of them differently. Hatshi'i Nechal B'mumo, number 9, that he called number 10, we have to wait till that it has a mum, and then it can be eaten as a normal animal. Vasiri Meiser, number 10, even though he called it number 9, but tachlis. Bottom line is, it's really number 10. That is going to be the Meiser Behema that's going to be brought to the base of Mikdash as a korban and then eaten thereafterward. Vacharasar, and the 11th one that he called 10, Karev Shlamim, is going to be brought as a korban Shlamim. Why do we treat number 9 and number 11 differently? He made a mistake on each of them. The same mistake, effectively, he called number 9 to be 10, and he called the 11th one to be 10 as well. And it's because it's based on a drasha and a pasuk, and accordingly, based on a drasha, it's quite an interesting drasha. It turns out that number 9, we're just going to have to wait till it has mum, and number 11, we're going to treat it as a shlamim. Now, with this number 11 that we're treating as a shlamim, the Ose Tmura Divi Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir says that this has the characteristic of a full-blown korban. There's something called a tmura. If somebody has a korban and tries to replace it with a different animal, the Torah tells us that you can't do that. And not only can you not replace your primary korban, but the replacement, the attempted replacement, becomes kadosh as well. So both of them become kadosh. So what Rebbe Meir is telling us is even that number 11 that you call 10 that we're bringing as a shlamim, if you attempted to replace that, that replacement is going to be holy as well. Divrei Rebbe Meir, that's the opinion of Rebbe Meir. Amar Rebbe Yehuda v'chiyesh tmura osa tmura. Rebbe Yehuda disagrees. Rebbe Yehuda views it as differently because number 11 really wasn't number 10. You called it number 10, but real, number 11 is not the Meiser Behema. Effectively, number 11, when you call it 10, you are making a tmura already by mistake, but you are effectively making a replacement for number 10. And that's why number 11, the replacement, has holiness. But there's a klal, there's a general rule, you can't make a replacement on a replacement. So according to Rebbe Yehuda, that's what he's saying, v'cheish tmura osa tmura, can you make a replacement on a replacement? Number 11 already is a replacement for number 10. And you can't make a replacement if you try to make a tmura on what's already a tmura. So they respond back in favor of Rebbe Meir, Amru Mishum Rebbe Meir. They said in the name of Rebbe Meir, Ilu haya tmura lo haya karev, if this number 11 was viewed as a replacement already, we would not be bringing it as a korban shlamim, because there's another rule that the tmura isn't brought as a korban. So accordingly, because we see that number 11 that he called number 10 is already being brought as a korban shlamim, we are bringing it as a shlamim. Accordingly, we don't view it as a tmura. We view it as a primary korban. And accordingly, that's why Rebbe Meir says you can make a replacement on number 11, because number 11 itself is not viewed as a replacement. Now is the next scenario. I mentioned before that we're going to have a similar scenario to 9, 10, and 11. And the first scenario was that 9 and 11 he called 10, but 10 he also made a mistake on and called it 9. Now we're going to change that one variable. Again, he's going to call number 9 and number 11 to be 10, but 10 he's also going to call number 10. And that's going to make a big difference for us vis-a-vis how we treat number 11. So the Mishnah says as follows, Karala Chi'i Asiri. If we called, as they're coming out, Meister Behema is trying to do a good job, but he made a mistake and he called number 9. Instead of calling it 9, he called it 10. Ula Asiri Asiri. Number 10 he got right. He called number 10, number 10. Didn't make a mistake and call it number 9 as he did before. Ula Achadasar Asiri, and number 11, he calls it number 10. So all three of them, 9, 10, and 11, he called it 10. He called 10, 10, and 10. So Ein Achadasar Mekudesh, number 11 has no sanctity. What's going on here is we're going to treat number 9, which he called 10, just like before. That we're going to treat it as if it has some sort of Kedusha. Accordingly, he's going to have to wait until it has a mum, and only when it has that blemish is he going to be permitted to eat it as regular meat. Number 10 that he called number 10, that's the Meiser Behema. He did that right. Number 11, because he already said number 10 is number 10, there was no more Kedusha left even though he called number 11 10, there's no more Kedusha left to fall in number 11. It's Eina Mekudesh. It has no holiness as a Meiser Behema whatsoever. And Zaklal, this is the principle that we're going to explain how this works. Kosha lo ne'ekar shema siri mimeno. As long as we did not remove, uproot the number from number 10. In other words, number 10 was called number 10, and the Gemara expands upon this and says, even if I didn't call number 10 number 10, but I didn't give it a wrong number, so that's the same as I'm not removing the number 10 from number 10. Accordingly, number 10 is full-fledged Meiser Behema with no other mistakes. I called it the right number. Ein Acharas HaMekudesh, the one that it comes afterward, number 11, even if I call number 11 10, it is still, accordingly, even if I call it 11:10, it is not going to have any Kedusha. That's why it says, Ein Achadas HaMekudesh, number 11, is just going to be a regular animal, despite the fact that I called it number 10.